And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining me. Now, I'm going to go a little bit off topic today, but it's something that certainly is quite topical at the moment, and that is the death of George Floyd in America. And certainly the reaction that that has caused around the world. Now, firstly, let's always confirm that a death by violence and in the way that he was killed is absolutely abhorrent. And we should be rightly outraged and want to seek justice for his death. And in fact, every death around the world due to violence should be looked at. And certainly more and more around the world we see groups of people who are, you could say, actually being targeted. And I'm thinking particularly of Christians all around the world. But let's get back to George Floyd and the Black Life Matters movement. Now, as a lot of people have been saying, yes, something needs to be done, and it's good to see that the policeman has been arrested and he will face the consequences of that action. But in fact, as many commentators are saying, all lives matter. We are all made in the image of likeness of God, and God certainly does not differentiate due to the colour of our skin or from which country we live in. God created us all, and he loves us all equally. And this is what we should do. Now, on my way here to the studio today, I was listening to Talkback, and they were saying, how can we change this attitude? Well, there is one way, certainly, and that if we truly understood that we are all created in God's image, and that God's Son, who was made man, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, came down from heaven to show us a new way to behave, a new covenant, a new commandment, love your neighbours as yourself. And if we truly did that, we could not possibly want to do and go out and kill people in this way. It's just unfathomable, and it would stop in its tracks. But getting back to the Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter movement, certainly what has happened in the States is that people, for whatever reason, through good, through misguided or nefarious, have jumped onto this movement and are using it for their own agenda. And I'm thinking particularly of sort of anti-fascist groups, anti-government groups like Antifa and those sorts of groups that are just jumping on this to create mayhem particularly. And if you look at the outcome, particularly in the black areas, what the rioters have done, they have actually destroyed the livelihoods of many, many, many black people who, you know, own the shops or are trying to eke out a living, as we are all doing in this post-COVID world. So what have they achieved? What are they achieving? And then you come to New Zealand, and we have just had the statue of Captain Hamilton removed from the civic grounds in Hamilton, supposedly because of the character of the person. Now, I will have to be honest, I do not know anything about Captain Hamilton, but the problem is, where has this started and where does it end? And certainly we have had calls before to remove statues representing the oppression of people from around the world. And as someone on Talkback stated, that rather than remove these statues or images, etc., it is a good talking point to remind ourselves and our families, our children, our grandchildren, that at that time this happened. So it's part of our history. We're not denying our history. We're not trying to rewrite our history. And unfortunately, these people were a little bit misguided to our way of thinking. And we have learnt something since then. And we wouldn't have done what they have done. But to totally erase that part of our history is possibly counterproductive. And where does it stop? There have been calls to remove all of the statues of Captain Cook. Okay, that's one thing. Where does it go from there? Is every single statue throughout New Zealand, are they going to be removed, and are there going to be calls to totally rewrite the history of New Zealand? Are we going to then want to remove all of the books in our libraries who refer to these people and withdraw them, excuse me, and destroy them because someone deems that they are offensive? As I said, they are part of our history, and it is interesting, I have to add, that in New Zealand schools, we do not actually teach New Zealand history. And I suspect that is believed we do have a very contentious history. But that doesn't mean that we have to try and whitewash everything and remove everything that someone in their home or somewhere deems to be offensive. Certainly, it is good to take on board their opinion and to respect their opinion, but we have to be very, very careful where this leads to and will it ever stop. Now, with regards to the Black Lives Matter, most definitely there have been injustices in New Zealand, and I for one did study New Zealand history at university, and history has been a lifelong passion for me ever since. We can learn from history, and in fact, if we don't learn from history, we are bound to repeat it. But somebody on Talkback was saying that they held up people like Winston Churchill and other people, and they were good, and then these other people were bad. Well, history isn't like that. There's no such thing as black and white, good and bad. There are shades of all of these things. We are very complex people. We are not 100% perfect, and we are not 100% bad. And so even people like Winston Churchill, there are certainly many things I have studied in his past that really do not quite come up to speed. Was he an exemplary human being? I'm sure by his own admission he would probably say no. So none of us can hold ourselves up to that sort of microscopic lens and have our lives dissected in this way. So we have to be very, very careful. I suspect that type of movement comes from a very anti-Christian perspective. And certainly if you look at Trump, is he perfect? Absolutely not. Would I vote for him? Yes, I probably would, because he is pro-life. And this radio station, as you would be aware if you listen regularly, is definitely pro-life. And, you know, every person in the womb until from natural conception to natural death is made in the image and likeness of God, and we have to respect that. So I would defend that to the nth degree. But what I think that we are actually seeing now is an attack on everything Christian. So anything to do with Judeo-Christian beliefs, moral beliefs, are being called out one by one and condemned. And with regards to hate speech, these laws, which are moving rapidly like a tsunami around the world, these things are not only condemned, but they actually, there are laws now preventing people from saying anything on a moral nature, which contradicts the leftist agenda, and that's been pushed all around the world. Now, in New Zealand, I know that Andrew Little, our Minister of Justice, is at this very moment working away on hate speech legislation. Now, we should be very worried about that. Everyone, you know, has a right to free speech. It's part of your human rights. I may not agree with you, but I respect your life, your right to say that. And so once we start legalising against hate speech, you can bet your bottom dollar that the one group in the target will be the Christians. Now, already we are seeing attempts by our government to start eliminating things of a Christian nature from anything to do with Parliament. For example, Mallard, who actually was raised a Catholic, took out the word Jesus out of the prayer in government. Now, did he consult anybody about that? That was just a unilateral decision that we heard about. I mean, so what you're saying is that Christianity has nothing to do with this nation. There has also been a push over the last number of years to change our national anthem. And of course, it would be very offensive to people who despise Christianity, because it says God defend New Zealand. And that is something that these people do not want to hear. Now, we all know our first verse of the national anthem, but I just thought it might be enlightening to read out the whole five verses of the national anthem for you today, so you could actually hear the tremendous petition, and that would draw down great blessings from heaven on this country if we actually believed what it said. So this is the first verse of New Zealand National Anthem. God of nations, at thy feet, in the bonds of love we meet. Hear our voices we entreat. God defend our free land. Guard Pacific's triple star from the shafts of strife and war. Make her praises heard afar. God defend New Zealand. Men of every creed and race, gather here before thy face, asking thee to bless this place. God defend our free land. From dissension, envy, hate, and corruption, guard our state. Make our country good and great. God defend New Zealand. Peace, not war, shall be our boast, but should foes assail our coast, make us mighty, a mighty host. God defend our free land. Lord of battles, in thy might, put our enemies to flight. Let our cause be just and right. God defend New Zealand. Let our love for thee increase. Make thy blessings never cease. Give us plenty, give us peace. God, defend our free land. From dishonour and from shame, guard our country's spotless name. Crown her with immortal flame. God, defend New Zealand. Make our mountains ever be freedom's ramparts on the sea. Make us faithful unto thee. God, defend our free land. Guard her in the nation's van, preaching love and truth to man, working out thy glorious plan. God, defend New Zealand. Now, it's an incredible national anthem. And just imagine the second verse. Men of every creed and race, gather here before thy face, asking thee to bless this place. God, defend our free land. From dissension, every hate and corruption, guard our state. Make our country good and great. God, defend New Zealand. Now, if as a nation we truly took those words to heart and believed them and humbled ourselves and bowed down before God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we could certainly overcome all of the dissension and hatred and envy, etc., that we see manifested in our nation. And it certainly would go a long way to ask for forgiveness and to show forgiveness for the history, the country, and the true history of this nation. So let's just, when we sing the national anthem, be mindful that we are asking God to defend this nation. And one of the ways we can ask God to defend this nation is to pray earnestly for this nation. And we certainly do need to do that. Just imagine if the country rose up in prayer and asked God to shower us with graces, he would do that because he is a faithful God. And if we ask in true heart and humility, he will answer our prayers. Now, for the last 2 years, we have had several rosaries in New Zealand, the Aotearoa Rosary. We've had that over the last 2 years. And we've also had the Coast to Coast Rosary for Life and Faith. Now, this will be going ahead again this year, and I will be letting you know more about it next week. Now, I am fortunate to be one of the team who organised this rosary. There's five of us, and it's a pretty hard job, but because we believe fervently in the power of prayer, we are putting our hands up again to do this. So listen in again next week and we will tell you more about it. Now, we have just gone past 3 o'clock Friday, which of course is the Divine Mercy Hour. So we always pray a shortened version of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Now, this is a wonderful prayer that our Lord gave to Saint Faustina in Poland, and he promised one of the blessings of this prayer is that when people pray it for the dying, that our Lord promised to stand between the dying person and the just God as a merciful Saviour. So you don't have to be a Catholic, you don't even have to be a Christian to appreciate this prayer, but just listen carefully. You might want to pray it inwardly as I pray this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily prayer and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And on the third day he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are and worried, there's a great organization in Auckland who can help you out. So Family Life International, you can find them online, and there will be somebody there on the end of the phone who is only more than happy to help out. Now, they're a great organization, been going for nearly 30 years, and one of the things they do is provide emergency housing to pregnant women. A great, great organization. So Family Life International, I would thoroughly recommend all of the work that they do. So as I said, if we were a nation that really understood what or how much God loves us and what he wants to do for our nation to draw down blessings from us, we need to pray fervently, because we really are at a crossroads. We are really standing on the precipice. Everyone knows that. We can see the tsunami of events that is sweeping New Zealand and the whole world, in fact. And the only thing that will hold back that dam is prayer. So you need to really get on your knees. We need to humble ourselves and show God that we have exhausted ourselves. We have done everything possible we can to show them that we are serious and we are making reparation for sin, and particularly the abortion law that we have just passed in New Zealand. It is the most outrageous abortion law in the world, and there are four sins that cry out to heaven, and one of them is murder. And what can be more terrible than taking the life of innocent babies in their mother's womb? So we really need to get down on our knees. As I said, I'll let you know more next week about the rosary that we are all... Okay, we're signing off now for another week, and I'll let you listen to the rest of that beautiful hymn from the priests.